I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to class today here.
Ooh, that's a little dark.
I think that's going to be a little too much.
That's going to be, it's
not a big deal. The technical stuff is not a big deal. I'd like to thank you for taking the time at the end of this program where you probably are a little bit brain frazzled with all the information that's come your way. Except for Kevin and I here, we've cut so many classes that I'm surfing.
Please delete that from the record.
So anyway, I'm Dan Jacoy, and I'm from Southern Oregon. We've been there 28 years with the church and in the community. I have four kids, and my oldest son went to Pepperdine, graduated 5 years ago last Saturday. And so we have four children, 30, 27, 25, and 23. So we're a boy, girl, boy. Oldest went to Harding, then Pepperdine, then George Fox. Any of you ever heard of George Fox? Bethany here is from Grants Pass in that Portland. Yeah. And our youngest son just graduated from OSU, Oregon State. He is a beaver, not a
duck.
Okay. And this is my lovely wife, Wendy. And we've been married for 32 years. We've been married for 32 years yesterday, and she truly is the love of my life. At first, we weren't, I think we were lovers, but now we are definitely best friends and soulmates. So, you know, after 32 years, you grow in your relationship, and we've certainly grown in our relationship. It's definitely one of the most beautiful things in my life. So, you come to a class about food, and my wife owns a restaurant. And it's a 115-year-old house, and it's a tea room. And upstairs is a bed and breakfast. So if any of you are on I-5, you want to stop by Myrtle Creek, as Bethany said, the windiest corners on I-5, and constant having, you know, fire trucks and ambulances go out there because trucks don't slow down and go over. But my wife, maybe she'll say a few words in a little bit too, but she runs a beautiful restaurant, and so food is a lot of our life right now, as you think. Okay, so before I talk too much, because you've heard enough people talk too much, please say who you are, maybe where you're from, and what you've enjoyed most about Pepperdine. And of course, if you want to skip because you don't want to speak, that's fine too. But I'm going to stop back here with Josh. Josh, where are you from, and what have you enjoyed most?
Josh, and I'm from Reno, Nevada, and what I have enjoyed the most is getting to know different people from all across the globe that are my brothers and sisters and being able to have that relationship with people.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bethany?
I am also from Reno. This is my husband, so I have worked, you know. I enjoy the fellowship as well, definitely. And you always learn something new to help you in your daily living.
Oh, yeah.
To walk in Christ's path. And
thank you. Okay, Duke, how about you?
Oh, I really just enjoy the 1 week of the year I can afford to cut them out.
Okay, Darlene, do you agree with that?
Yeah, we've been coming about 10 years, and so just getting together with friends from all over.
And from Arizona?
And we're from Arizona.
It's a little cooler here, huh?
Yeah.
And Noel, my new friend?
Noel Trias, just north of San Diego, Escondido. This is our first time here at the Pepperdine Methodist Church. My daughter's a junior here at Pepperdine. And it's been great. It's almost like a mini family reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll meet all kinds of brethren, but also folks from the past.
Oh, very good. My brother?
James from Arkansas.
Oh, I can tell something's going on.
And I'm involved in some mission work, so I enjoy networking. I don't know if you could call it fellowship, networking, connecting with people, organizations from all different areas of mission work.
Yeah, it's a good place to do it, huh? Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to meet you.
Bill.
Hey, Bill. Where are you from?
Outside of Indianapolis.
Oh.
First time I've ever been there.
Ah, what a treat, Bill. What have you enjoyed?
Getting exercise, walking up.
Okay, Joel, how about you?
I'm Joel. What was the second question?
What have you enjoyed most?
Oh, yeah. I'm from Orange County, Orlando. And what I've enjoyed most is a lot of things, really. I do the friendliness, just like the community of it. I love that. And to be able to really learn about all these really cool, fascinating things. I don't know. It's really cool.
That's good. And my sister?
I'm Kathy Graff. I'm from the San Diego, Ramona area. And okay. I like the diversity of all the classes. They're all different. It's
yeah.
like variety. It's different. And it's interesting, but different.
Diversity of classes. You bet.
Janine Perkins, San Diego.
And that's Jeannie?
Janine.
Okay.
And unlike Bill, I'm not enjoying the stairs. I think I need walking stairs.
What have you enjoyed most?
I enjoyed spending time with my family and then my spiritual family.
Okay. All right, my dear brother Kevin.
Well, those of you that know me would say that I enjoy the surf the best here, but I'd have to say, you know, I really enjoy reconnecting with brothers and sisters from years gone by. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my wife Denise and I have had some just fabulous moments with some folks who we don't get to connect with that much, you know, throughout the year. And we're from Oceanside.
Yes. Or,
and San Diego area.
Okay. All right, Jessica, would you like to say anything?
Jessica from Oceanside. Well, thanks. Oceanside, California. And
I think I know what you like best. I think it has to do with
la 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 la.
I like singing.
And she can sing. She sang us happy anniversary yesterday in Italian. Yeah, she can belt it up. Okay, Bethany. Thank you, Jessica.
Brittany.
Oh, Brittany, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Bethany.
I have a friend, Bethany, too. From Sherwood, Oregon, close to Portland.
Yeah.
And I've loved coming here just with an open mind and learning and exchanging ideas.
Okay. Okay, my lovely wife, Wendy.
Oh, I think the best thing I like about Pepperdine is probably reconnecting with people that I know and fellowshipping. And we come from such a small town. It's really nice to come into a big, more of a larger atmosphere because people are coming from all over the world, and we're able to kind of really soak that in. We're in a small town. You don't get much. So it's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel like it's an oasis
just
for us.
Great.
Okay, my friend Mike from Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa. We've been coming 30 years. Less
wow.
Two. two years we weren't able to make it back. And I think the thing I enjoyed most this year is the concern, my sharing the concern for the dying church.
Yeah.
And, some of the things that I've heard and what maybe we can do about it.
Very good. Yeah, thank you. Okay, Trellis.
Trellis, yeah. Mike's wife. All of the things everybody's been saying about all the great things that come into Pepperdine family, in touch with families and friends and all of that. But today I was especially touched by for such a time as this.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been praying to be able to reach out to my neighbors, and I'm chicken. And I really want
that's
to do
good.
It. I really
that's
want
good.
To get out there and reach out to them. And I know, especially today, after listening to our granddaughter speak about Esther, I don't know if you know, but they had some next generation preachers, three boys and a girl. The girl was our granddaughter, and we watched her speak about Esther for such a time as this. She wants to be a preacher, both things.
Well, I'm going to, in this class, I'm going to give you a vehicle. I'm going to give you a good way to reach out to your neighbors.
Please.
All right.
Please.
Okay. Denise?
Yeah, I'm Denise Carnes. Yes, Kevin's wife. And he already said we live in Oceanside, or San Diego County. The lessons have been phenomenal. You know, I just love getting my cup filled up and overflowing.
Yeah.
You know, it's overflowing by this morning. And just time to laugh and cry and connect with friends, make friendships stronger. And, you know, Dan and Wendy are just awesome, and we've been building a deeper relationship with them. And we just have friends from everywhere. The first time I came to Pepperdine, my here, we're living in California. I grew up in Colorado. My youth minister from Colorado was here. My track coach from ECU from Texas was here. And I saw them both standing 10 feet apart. And I said, oh, this could be like heaven. You know, these men probably had no clue of each other. And, you know, they were the most two influential men in my life other than my father. And here they are in a younger family. I'm just like, oh, it's going to be like heaven, you know. So I just really feel like it is a little slice of heaven with the fellowship and the teaching.
And you said, God's people. You said they were... one was a track coach.
One was my track coach.
I believe that. I mean, you hang around with her and him. Okay, Denise, thank you. And who do we have next, Denise?
I'm Rachel from San Diego. And my favorite thing has been the singing also. We come from a beautiful congregation. I think there's about 60 or 70 of us. But this many voices, praise and praise, is awesome. This is incredible. I just love it. So that's been my favorite time.
Thank you, Rachel. Yours?
I'm Betsy. I'm also from San Diego. And one of my favorite things is the VBS for the kids. Because it's good. These are the 3 days or 4 days that I get to actually pay attention.
Okay, Julie, we've been going around and saying our name and what we like best about the lectureship. So you're Julie. And where are you from?
Washougal, Washington.
Ooh, there you go. Portland,
Vancouver.
And what have you enjoyed most?
Let me think. Just all the classes when I get into class. And
right.
I'm learning stuff. I really like that.
Well, thank you, each one, for providing something to this class. We really don't need more information, but we do need to support each other. Because we know what we're called to do, and we're blessed to do, and we know how we need to be reminded of how loved we are. And you know, I had visions of grandeur when I graduated from Vera Valley. I graduated from a preacher school. I had a 10-year plan. Right about now, and you see, I served two churches basically, and one for 4 years, and now for 28 years. And I thought, according to my plan, we would be about 2,000 people in our church. We would have dozens of elders. We would have planted new churches, and none of that has happened. And so Lynn Anderson was here 3 or 4 years ago teaching a class on the Psalms, and he says that he wants to run deeper, not faster. And that's what I want at this season of my life. I've been running fast. Oh, gosh. I've been running fast and going with Wendy and I. We have tried to convert everyone in our little... Our town's 3,500, but our area's like 10,000 people. And we've had our ups and downs in the ministry. But at this season of our life, we want to go deeper. And that's really what this is about. And it's through meals. And so when I was asked to be on the program... And which Pepperdine's been so good to the Jacoys and to the Tri-City Church of Christ. They have supported our church and my ministry for so long. It's such a blessing. Pepperdine is awesome. And I was doing a series on this particular topic. And so when they asked in August, you know, what do you want to do it on? I said, well, I want to do it on meals. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And then I thought, well, you know what? It's going to be like 8-9 months until I do this. I wonder if it will have worn off. It hasn't worn off. This is still really what I'm about. And you'll hear it and see it through this. But we've got to have more class participation. And I'll finish at 15 after 4. Okay. What role has food or meals played in your life? Come on in, brother. Well, I was hoping someone might say the food here at Pepperdine's been great. That Tri-Tip the other night was, I just bought a Traeger barbecue, so I'm really into, so check me out next year and see if I can keep trim as I have, but we've had a lot of funny experiences hosting people. That's really what we've done for years is host people, and that kind of probably has led to Wendy having a restaurant. But we had a number, and I want to tell you a couple of quick experiences we had. We had this one experience where we tried to fit as many people around our dining room table, and it was such a small room. And we like to try to get all these different people together to come so we can just connect all at once, because you can't do it in a church building. And meals are such a good way to do it. Well, we were connecting in one of the meals, and we, of course, ran out of chairs. So we brought in some plastic chairs. It was the middle of summer, and this guy was sitting in this chair, and all of a sudden, he starts to sink. And he starts going down lower and lower and lower, and finally, he's on the ground. And the chair had fatigued through the heat, and I'll just never forget him being in the dining room, and we're all watching. And another time, we're in our backyard having a small group, right? Summertime. And we're just starting to eat, and our son Micah is climbing a tree and falls off a limb about 12 feet up. Gosh.
Onto his head.
Oh, I think we should put down. Let's stop and pray. When we moved into our house, we just sold in December. We moved into our house October 31st, 1989. We had a two-year-old, and the next-door neighbor attended the Baptist church. He brought over a hot apple pie with his wife and welcomed us to the neighborhood.
Wow.
And he said, "I heard you're a Church of Christ minister." And I said, "Yes, I am." And he says, "I just have," as he handed me this pie, he said, "Do you really believe that you're the only ones going to heaven?" But the pie just sweetened us up. We had the greatest relationship. And both of them passed away through the years, and we got to be a part of the process of helping them transfer from planet Earth to heaven. They were just the most beautiful neighbor, but it started with a meal. Right? And that's how it goes. And so food has played a tremendous role in my relationship with Wendy. I knew Wendy before I dated her. She was 15, I was 23. And I was a preacher student, so I was safe. And I lived two states away. And so I knew her. We went to camp together, and we played. She's very competitive back then, and still is, actually. So one day at church, she walked by me, because I would come home from church a couple times during the year as a youth minister, and she came by me, and she had this perfume on. And, wow, Wendy's a lady. And it was wild musk. And it just... And I thought, you know what? I should ask her out, you know, and teach her the ropes about dating, because I'm 24 and she's 16 now. Got her parents' permission. I took her out on the date, and the next day I had to go back to Colorado. So we went out to this real special place by where we're from in Placerville, and I was showing her how you order off the menu or whatever, and showing her how nice I was, and opened the door. Anyway, I ended up spilling the entire steak. And it had an egg on it, and it was a special thing all over. I'll just never forget that as our first meal. When I became a Christian, I was invited to someone's house. This is 1979 out of Placerville, a little town called Georgetown, Raven Hills. And I was invited to a Bible study, and it was around Emmanuel's. And then, when I was baptized, I started to go to that church more and more, and every month we had a potluck. And during potluck Sundays, we always had the most in attendance. Mm-hmm. Is that how it is where you guys are? Did you ever? Our area where we are in Oregon is really a struggling area with the economy. Ever since all the trees and the timber industry has kind of been handcuffed, if you will, because of the environmental timber struggle, the battle back and forth, we are in the heart of timber companies. And so our county is 50% federal land managed by the state. We can't really cut a stick on it. And we get no money from the government for it. Mm-hmm. We used to get money. It was the ONC funds, but now the government is reneging on it. So we have all these pullbacks in public safety. And I served in our community in a civic public way. And just really a hard time, and our economy has been tanked. When I moved there in 1989, we were the least church county in the least church state in the United States. So it's a really tough area. So potlucks are some of the best ways for people to get a good meal. And so when we started to church there, we would have people come for potlucks that wouldn't come to anything else. Okay, I could go on and on. I wanted to talk about my daughters when I gave them a promise or a purity ring. It was always around to take them out to a dinner and always make it special. What I'm trying to say is the great events of my life have taken place around food. And I didn't realize that. In the Bible, what role does food play? What's that?
Laws.
Laws, that's right. Good point. And then, Josh, you have one.
You wanted me to mention this, that we see the celebrations and the festivals and the holidays that the Jews have.
Yeah.
And we don't understand that almost all of them had a meal that they were around. That was the thing. That was their main way of recognizing that holiday.
Yeah. And sometimes for days, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have that in your country?
Yeah, we do.
Where meals play the central role for?
We do. We'll have what you have mostly as we call the barbecue. We'll do brides there. For the bride, where we sit around the fireplace.
Yeah.
Could be the day where we could do bush or something.
Yeah.
Families get together, probably after maybe holidays that are common.
Yeah.
And then we'll be sharing a meal.
Yeah.
It's actually better over here.
Africa or America, doesn't matter, right? What were you going to say, Denise?
Well, at the end of Acts 2, in 38 through 40, it's talking about the new believers. You know, after all these people are baptized and now they met together daily in the temple courts and they broke breads daily in their homes together. Yeah, that's were meals together, you know, that they were bonding and it with each other in their homes and of course sharing everything, having everything in common and nobody in need. And you know, when you're sitting down at a meal, that's when you find out does somebody have a need.
Ah, here you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Here you go. Okay.
This is kind of the opposite. People will be eating and drinking and won't recognize the return of Christ.
Ah, good point. Thank you. So,
but
so
they had that time to know it,
right?
And so,
so eating and drinking is not always a symbol of spirituality, and well, you'll see that in the passage about Christ. So, I'll come back to that. But
good thought
on that.
Absolutely, not a happy thought, but
no, it's all right. So beautiful. We started in a garden. We will end in a garden, eating the fruit off the fruit is the healing, represents the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I will eat again anew with you in the kingdom of... Just, it's all in there. I like this picture here. You won't be able to see it real well. We've been privileged to go to Kauai for the last couple of years, and this was at the beach house in Kauai. And we met someone down at the beach. And she said her husband is the new chef at this place. So we went there, and boy, the meals were expensive. But this was one of the most beautiful meals I ever had with my wife. And this was the view from our table. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's just a reflection of the time I spent with Wendy. I'll never forget the specialness of that meal at the beach house. And so they provide that place of those special moments in a person's life, and it certainly was for me there. So, and your name again in the back?
Bill.
Okay, Bill. So here we have this passage that says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Gosh, Kevin's heard that a few times, at least two or three, right? Mm-hmm. 1,000 times, because we all believe and know this. This is why Jesus came. This is what a ministry should ultimately be about, seeking and saving the lost, right? We all together on that. Absolutely. That is my heart and my soul, I believe. And then the second one, for the just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but what? But to serve, and let's finish this together.
And give his life as a ransom for many.
Isn't that a beautiful passage? And so this is a great passage on what we're about. But this third one is an interesting one. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Now, I don't hear this one quoted as much as this one. Because this was a little bit more of a derogatory statement about Jesus. So, we often quote why Jesus came, but not how he came. And this is the part about running deeper, not faster. He spent time with meals. You'll see this real well here. from Marcus Barth, and he's got some great material on Jesus and eating. And approximately one-fifth of the sentences in Luke, meals play a conspicuous role. One-fifth. Because he's either going to a meal, he's at a meal, or he's leaving a meal. Didn't pick that up until I did this series. Yeah, I knew it was there, but I just didn't realize how much and the significance of it. The rap on Jesus was that he was a drunkard and a glutton, dining with all the
wrong
people. Was he eating and dining with all the wrong people?
No,
yes.
That's the right people.
Yes. The real.
What's
that? The real. Yeah, that's right. And then this last one. In Luke's gospel, Jesus got himself killed because of the way he ate. If you want to write down this guy's name, look at his book on food in Jesus' life. It's incredible. He's done some great research. In Luke's gospel, Jesus got himself... And why is that so? Why did Jesus get himself killed by the way he ate?
Well, he ate with sinners.
That's right, Bill. And that was the first rub with the Pharisees and maybe the Sadducees. That was the first thing. And we're going to look at that passage early on in Luke. So here are the messianic meals. Levi's house, Simon the Pharisee, feeding of the 5,000. I wish I had time to go over this one, because at the beginning of this passage, Herod does not know who Jesus is. Is he John the Baptist, risen from the dead? Is he one of the prophets? And then Jesus feeds the 5,000 out in the desert or the wilderness area, or wherever that particular area was, by the Sea of Galilee. And then after that, he asks Peter who he is. And Peter knew who he was by the miracle he did, and it had to do with food. Herod doesn't know who Jesus is. So Jesus' identity and his authority was revealed to Peter, maybe through eating and drinking. Hospitality in Martha's house. Martha, Martha, you're concerned about so many things. The meal at the Pharisee's house. Sabbath meal. Pharisee's house, hospitality from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. The last meal, and then my very favorite, the breaking of the bread on the road to Emmaus, at the home in the Emmaus. This will finish this at 15 after. Okay, so let's first look at a passage in Luke chapter 5 about the company Jesus kept. Luke chapter 5. And as we were saying, this goes early on. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And he answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then they asked him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking." See how food is everywhere. Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But a time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one takes a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. No one pours new wine into old wineskin. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. And no new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better." So this is a beautiful story about the people. And basically, it sums up this passage. We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. You didn't do what we wanted you to do. And this has to do with meals, because who you ate with is who you associated and who you accepted in your life. And this was an important thinking of that day, And really, all the way through, you can see that churches who, quote, have disfellowshipped someone, obviously not very much in our day and age, they were not to associate with them or even to eat with them, because eating has to do with association. So they were complaining to Jesus that you're not eating with the right people. You're keeping the wrong company. It's not just our moral lives, but our social lives that reveal whether we understand the heart of Jesus. And this is significant because to eat with someone shows you're interested in them. You care about them. That you've taken the time. And especially, you know, this is an interesting thing. You know, we have a Costco in our town now, in Roseburg. I came there about five years ago. Wendy had to go all the way up to Eugene. About an hour and a half away, or down to Medford to get things for her restaurant. At least the things in bulk. And it was quite a bit more costly, and, you know, made a full day out of it. And so there's a lot to make in a meal. And so it really is. Or Costco has so many good things you can buy now. It's amazing, isn't it? How good so many of the things that they or, you know, Albertsons or Safeway has. But what a meal says is that you've taken the time or the money and you're interested in them. And I also mean not even a meal. Having a coffee, going to Starbucks or in our place, in our town, it's called SoCo. It's just taking the time to sit down with a person. We have a Tai Chi class 3 times a week. And I learned Tai Chi when I was a teenager when I lived in San Francisco. And it was kind of my way to God, because I was pretty drugged up when I was a teenager. And it really kind of made me stop and chill out a little bit. And so through the years, I've kept the Tai Chi up, and we started a class in our park 12 years ago, 3 times a week, and it really, I wish our church grows as fast as our Tai Chi group. It really is popular in America. And every time they go after, they go to coffee together as a group. And they have formed a Tai Chi fellowship. Each Friday, we pray at the end of our Tai Chi class, and we go have coffee. But over the last couple of years, it's my time to invite someone to go out to coffee or a smoothie, whatever they want to do, and it's just time. And then they keep saying to me, who are you going to bring next? Because they're always there at a table, and then I'm always with, and it's always with a guy. Dan, how do you know so many guys? Because it's my way of trying to get to know a person, to say, I'm interested in you. I want to get to know who you are. And here's what I find. And this is going to sound like a judgmental statement. And I don't mean it to be this. If you cannot get to the point with a person where they will either go out to coffee or whatever, or have a meal with you, you probably won't get to know them very well. You probably won't go very deep in your relationship. And that is also in our church. If we don't have the time, make that time to sit down and talk, then we will have to be a church friend, but not really a kindred spirit or a deep friend. That's been my experience. It also says you accept them. When you're having a meal with someone, it means I want to know who you are, and I want to hear your story, if you'll tell it. And it may take a number of times to do that, or just to keep up with each other. How's it going now? But it's just such the best way to do it. And so it's deeper, not faster. In this story, it shows transforming grace. Jesus is willing to disciple anyone who's willing to follow him. Amen to that?
Yeah.
Right on with that. I love that. Jesus, he's willing to disciple anyone if they'll just take the time to be with him. And then it's a scandalous grace because Jesus is willing to eat with anyone who will host him. And who is our host in this passage? It was Matthew or Levi, and he held a party with all of his buddies. And so here's what I say. Open doors lead to open hearts. A meal will do that. We'll be concluding with that just a little bit. And open hearts lead to intimate friendships. And this is what I want. This is what I want. I just want people to know that, you know, and what I think it is, I think it's from when I was a child. There was a period in my life, my mom left my dad, and it was an abusive relationship. The only memories I have were, you know, abusive images in my mind. And my mom left my dad, and I don't remember anyone. I mean, my mom was such an attractive lady, and there were a number of guys that came through in relationships and were gone. I have four siblings, three brothers and a sister. And I don't remember anyone that took the time when I was a kid, even in my teenage years, but I probably wouldn't have received it when I was a teenager, believe me, that ever showed a real interest in me. And, you know, I remember one guy, even when I was in fourth grade, I was playing basketball. He said, Jacor, you have a good hook shot. Oh, I do. And so I've always, you know, I've been to play basketball and basketball coach and stuff like that in our little community. So I always practiced the hook shot because someone patted me on the back when I was a kid. And I think a meal, I just want people to know. You know what I mean? I want them to know. Meals are a great way to connect hearts. Because it gives us the time to slow down and do it in a genuine way. Because usually if the person will take a time for coffee, you're usually not going to drink it in 5 to 10 minutes. So you usually get a chance to hear from them. So that's a great way to connect hearts. So my question is, who's at your table? And the cool thing about it, it's built into your schedule already. Because you eat anyway, right? Now, I tried a ministry, it hadn't worked too good. Any of you youth ministers? Okay, well, I tried to bring, maybe you, Josh, a little bit, kind of thing. I tried to bring the carrot and celery food ministry into youth ministry. It worked totally wrong. Wendy and I make a huge smoothie every morning, and it has all these things. We're so blessed to live in America, to have all these goodies and fresh this and fresh that. And so we make this Vitamix or smoothie every day. And you cannot believe how many people have come over and tried my smoothie. If any of you would like the recipe, I'll be glad to give it to you. It's a powerful thing. So it's basically what we have for breakfast and lunch. And then I like PJs a lot. So people come over and get my Dave Killer's bread, Adam's peanut butter, and local jelly or jams. And by the way, I just read a huge article on peanut butter and jellies in the NBA. It is an NBA-approved sandwich. And the Warriors, any of you Warriors fans? Steve Curry swears by me. PJ, I mean, there's a lot of controversy they're going to take. Anyway, so who's at your table? It's just a matter of being intentional. And one of our first fights, we've had 32 years of marriage, and 31 have been great. The first year was a little tough. We just had to figure out how to roll. And I learned. So I was a new youth minister in Rancho Cordova, and so we were going to, I said, Wendy, it's Sunday night, and I'd like to invite some people over. She said, oh, no, we're not. I said, yes, we are. I'm a minister, and ministers have people over. And she said, no, we're not. And we locked horns, right? Anything to say about that? You went so quiet. But, you know, it was having people in. And so now we have sold our place. Our place was 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, and we sold it 4 bedrooms, 2 baths. It's an old ranch-style home. And now we've moved back into our apartment next to our bed and breakfast, and it's 700 square feet. And so, you know, we have some of our stuff in the storage there. But it's like we're newly married again. So we have people over at our little house and our little dining room. So the first thing you walk into is our big bed and our TV and our dining room. And our dog is almost 15 years old. So he's got a geriatric house, kind of a complex house for him. And so if we have big groups, which we do each Sunday night, because we have small groups, we go over to the bed and breakfast and to the tea room, and we can host a lot of people there.
Right.
So we can either do small and intimate, or we can do larger. But who is at your table? That's most okay. I got 7 minutes, and I've got to be done. Of course, dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house is a tremendous story. Some people adore Jesus, and some just analyze him, right? The Pharisee. And the Pharisee, of course, he got a lesson in humanity. Look at this woman. Ever since I came in, you didn't do anything for me, but look at her. She's anointed my feet for the tears. Wetted my feet with the tears, washed with the hair. Look at this woman, boy. Do you see her? Do you see her? Do you see this woman? Do you see the people at your church, at your work?
Do you see them? Do you see the prickle? You get a lesson in humility. You may owe less, but you still can't pay. It's all grace, Simon. You got to figure that out. And then get a lesson in holiness. Godly people restore the fallen. And so maybe you're a meal away from seeing someone restored to Jesus. If they'll have a meal with you, maybe they'll get an opportunity for you to invest in their life and to show them the love of Christ. Okay. Okay, we're going to move on from there. Here's the last story, and I told you I wanted to get to. I love the story. And I think it's because we got the picture in our front room. That great picture of Jesus walking along the road, the two disciples. I love that. Just love that whole vintage. And so we have these disciples, and they're recounting the story to this stranger because they're prevented from recognizing Jesus, right? And so they're all bummed, and they've had the hope of Israel in front of them, and he was doing all these wonderful things, but then they took him and they crucified him, and everyone's left, and now we've had these women come, and they say that, you know, they've rolled away the stone, and he's gone, and he's just listening. And he said, you know what? You guys need a Bible study. And he takes them through the scriptures, and they're just blown away by what Jesus is teaching them. It's like fresh bread. It's like total revelation. And so he acts like he's going to go on. But they convince him, no, come in. And he comes in. This is the coolest thing. And then they sit down to eat. And then they recognize him when he breaks the bread. And then as they recount the story to each other, because immediately he disappears. Don't you just love this story? Yeah. This story is just the coolest story. And because how it involves the revelation of Jesus within the heart. And he opened their mind. No, I'm sorry. And he was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were open as they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? But when was Jesus recognizable to them? At the meal. And you will find, as you already know, that Jesus becomes recognizable in your midst when you gather together. You could say when two or three are gathered together. I think that passage that Matthew 18 is in the context of reconciliation. So I'm not one of those ministers or people, Christians, who uses that passage. Well, you know, when two or three are gathered, I think Jesus is with every one of his followers. But when two or three are reconciled together, he's in the midst. Whereas if they're not reconciled, then Jesus needs, you know, straightening out. But my point is that when he had this meal with them, they recognized him. Now, the scripture does not say that these are apostles. No. So we do not, there's no reason to believe that these disciples were in the upper room with Jesus when he broke the bread of the Lord's Supper. So I'm saying is that there was a revelation in their heart when they had the meal. And I have found when you get together with people like we did today, and like we've done all week, you get to know people and you get to find them, you get to value them and appreciate them. You see where I'm coming on that? Okay. Okay, and so here's what Chester says. Jesus didn't run projects, establish ministries, create programs, or put on events. He ate meals. If you routinely share meals and have a passion for Jesus, you'll be doing mission. It's not that meals save people. People are saved through the gospel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the gospel message. But meals will create the natural opportunities to share the message in a context that resonates powerfully with what you were saying. And then Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. At the center of the Christian life is a meal with Jesus being the main course. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
He is our meal. He is our food. And so partaking and sharing in food is used to describe heaven. And so here's my wife's place. Here's her tea room. This is her bed and breakfast, and this is her tea room. And this is what people do when they come.
Yes.
And I've got picture after peel. She provides a place for people to experience Jesus. And she does it through being the beautiful host that she is. She's all dressed up. Everything is done. Even the little cucumbers are cut out in hearts. Everything is done. And she provides a place, a banquet. Do you remember the story of Antoine Fisher that at the end of the movie. I cannot get the clip. Yeah. It's not on YouTube. I have the movie, but I didn't, you know. But it's about a guy that was neglected and abused all of his life, Denzel Washington, and it ends him coming to this big banquet table. Mm-hmm. It's an African-American community, and they bring him in, and everyone's welcoming him because they're all family. And he finally gets around the table, and the table's loaded with food. And finally, he gets to the matriarch. And she welcomes him. And he sits by the matriarch. And they pray and eat. What a beautiful picture. And so I conclude with this. Perhaps you're a potluck away from your next disciple. Or a friend. So let me pray you out. Lord, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity that Pepperdine has given Wendy and I to come this year again to connect with so many beautiful people and to share this message about how you have gifted us with this beautiful thing of food. And whether we choose that food or this food, either this time or in this country or this place, we thank you for the power of a meal and what it can do to transform a relationship. And God, I help you. I pray that you will help us to be intentional about this simplistic, simple thing, necessary thing that we do each day, and help us to be able to influence, touch, welcome, accept, heal, do all we can do to bring people to you. And if it's food that we can use, help us to be intentional, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming to the class.
Thank you.
You bet.